Okay, so once we finish the discussion of the Mishkan, as we mentioned, the second half of Vayikra pivots to all types of other mitzvot. The first real large unit, after a few more on kashrus and covering blood, in Perek Yud Chet, is the unit of the arayot, of the forbidden relationships. And right off the bat, this unit is very, very strange for one glaring reason, which is that the unit repeats itself in its entirety two prakim later. Right? So if you look at Perek Yud Chet, and Perek Yud Chet is how many psukim? It's 1, 2, 3. It goes, it's 30 psukim. The first 23 of them discuss all the forbidden relationships. And then you get a few psukim about the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. And then Perek Yud Tet, you have all types of other mitzvot. You have Kibud Av V'Em, you have Shabbos, you have prohibitions against Avodah Zarah, you have laws about Karbanot, you have laws about Staka, you have laws about honest business dealings, you have Ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, then you have Kilayim, and then you have Shivcha Charufa, and then you have laws about honest weights and measures, right? You have a whole collection of halachot, and then Perek Chaf starts off with some laws of Avodah Zarah again, specifically Molech, the Avodah Zarah that was served by passing your children through fire, which either means burning them, but historically probably means, as many of them are from note, simply you had two pillars of fire and they walked through them. But then, in the middle of Perek Chaf, picking up in Pasuk Yud, you get all the arayot again. You get all the forbidden relationships again from Pasuk Yud through Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So, trying to understand these continuing units, right? One of the first things you need to do is try to figure out why is it that the arayot come here, but more importantly, why does it get repeated in its entirety twice? Okay, so that's what we're going to try to answer. So, in order to figure this out, we have to look at some of the differences. So if you look at Perek Yud Chet, and you look at the arayot as they appear in Perek Yud Chet, so this is what you get. Vayidaber Adonai Moshe le'mor, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ani Adonai Eloheichem. So, Moshe says, Hashem says to Moshe, tell the Jews, and tell them, I am God. K'ma'aseh eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo ta'asu, k'ma'aseh eretz Kenan asher ani mevi etchem shama, lo ta'asu, v'chukotehem lo te'lechu. What they do in Egypt, where you used to live, don't do like that, and don't act the way they do in Canaan, which is the land that you're coming to. Don't follow in their ways. And mishpatai ta'asu v'chokotai tishmeru l'lechet bahem, ani Adonai lechem. Instead, follow my laws. Do what you're supposed to do. I am Hashem, your God. Now, as we go through, there's a few things we have to know, right? One is right here in the beginning, in addition to the question of arayot, we need to ask what this means. What is the import of the framing? Kimase eretz Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem lo ta'asu. That the arayot are framed by saying, don't act like the Egyptians. And, as we'll see, this phrase, ani Hashem Elokeichem, is going to appear over and over. We're going to have to figure out whether there's any significance to that. Right? It's already appeared twice, and it will continue. Pasuk Hey, Ushmartem et Chukotai v'Nivet Mishpatai Asher Ye'aseh Otam Adam V'Chai B'Hem Ani Adonai, and you shall keep my laws and my statutes that a man shall do, and you will live through them. I am God. Right there, you get the Ani Hashem a third time, and then Pasuk Vav Ish at Kol Sheh Abrisar Oli Lo Tikravu LaGalot Erva Ani Adonai. Each person shall not become close to his intimate relatives. I am God. Ervat avicha ervat imcha lo tigalei, imcha hi lo tigalei ervata. And then prohibition against being with one's mother. Ervat ershet avicha lo tigalei ervat avicha hi, nor one's stepmother. Ervat achotcha bat avicha vat imecha moledet baitem moledet chuz lo tigalei ervatan. And then sister, ervat bat bencha uvat bencha lo tigalei ervatan ki ervat chahena. Then grandchildren. Ervat bat ishet avicha moledet avicha achotcha hi lo tigalei ervata. So again, sister, half-sisters. Ervat achot avicha lo tigalei sher avicha hi. And then aunts. Ervat achot imcha lo tigalei ki sher imcha hi. Right. Again, aunts, right? Mothers, sisters. Ervat achi avicha, lo tigale, elishto, lo tikrav, dodat chahi. Again, aunts. Ervat kalatcha, lo tigale, eshet bin chahi, lo tigale, ervata, right? Daughters-in-law. Ervat eshet achicha, lo tigale, ervat achicha, he. Ervat isha uvita lo tigale, you can't be married to both a mother and a daughter. Et bat binav, et bat pita, lo tikach legalot, ervata, sha'ara heina zimahi. You can't marry two sisters at once. Right, and then the prohibition of nida. And then the prohibition against adultery. And you cannot give your children to Molech. I am God. Now again, not only are the erva, the riot repeated, so is Molech, right? It stands out, right?
This what is Molech?
So Molech is this particular form of idol worship. Yeah, that the way they worshipped it, exactly,
okay,
was by passing children through fire, which again either means burning them or it means passing them through pillars of fire. But that was Molech.
Okay.
It was a specific idol. And then the prohibition against homosexuality. And then the prohibition against bestiality. And do not make yourselves impure with these, because this is how all the nations in the land you are coming to, how they become impure. And they've made the land impure, so the land is spitting them out. And you shall keep my laws and don't do all of these disgusting things. Because all these disgusting things, again, he reiterates, the people in Eretz Yisrael did, and therefore the land is kicking them out, and I don't want it to kick you out. And anyone who does this will get spiritual excision. And so that's the Arayot. Time one, right? You get this laundry list of all the different forbidden relationships. You get Ani Hashem as a guide throughout it for some reason. You get this emphasis of not doing what the people in Mitzrayim or Canaan did, and then you get Molech thrown in, just like we're going to have in Perek Chaf. So then, if we look at Perek Chaf, right, it sounds very, very similar, right? So Perek Chaf, starting at Pasuk Yud. Right, so again, we get Ish Asher Yinafet Eshet Ish Asher Yinafet Eshet Re'eyu. So if someone commits adultery, Mot Yumar Hanoef Hanoefet. So the adulterers, both the man and the woman, will be put to death. V'ish Asher Yishkavet Eshet Aviv Ervat Aviv Gila. And if you're with your stepmother, Mot Yimtu Shneihem Demeihem Bam. So the prohibition against being with one's mother-in-law. And if you do, it's the death penalty. And if someone with his daughter-in-law, so then they are put to death. Right. So you have the prohibition against homosexuality again. And then in Yudalad, you have the prohibition again against marrying a mother and daughter. In Tedvav, you have the prohibition of bestiality. And in Tezayin, in Yud Zayin, you have the prohibition against sisters again. In Pasuk Yudchet, you have the prohibition against Nida again. In Yutet, you have the prohibition against ants. And in Pasuk Chaf, you have the prohibition against ants. Nida was not in Yudchet. It's in Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph is Nida. Right? And then if you look in Pasuk Chaf Bet, it sounds exactly like Yudchet. Right? After you list all the arayot, you get the same warnings. Ushmartem et kol chukotayv, et kol mishpatayv, asitem otam. Keep all my laws and all my statutes. V'lo taki etchem haaretz asher ani mevi etchem shama l'shevet ba'an. The land won't spit you out. V'lo telchu b'chol kora goy asher ani mishalech mipneichem. And don't go in the ways of the nations that I'm kicking out in front of you. Ked kol eila suvakot zbam. Because you will not I'm sorry, because they did it, right? The land hated them. I don't want the land to hate you, right? You basically get this same parsha repeated twice with the, right, the arayot, with the warnings about not being like the nations, with the warning that you'll get kicked out of the land, right? And the question becomes, okay, why do we have this law repeated, right? The whole unit, it's not like one pasuk, like the whole parsha is repeated. Okay. So, while it is repeated, what differences did you note between Yud-Chet and Chaf? There are a few striking differences. Right? The list of the Arayot and the prohibition against Molech is basically identical, but there are a few striking differences about the Parshiot. So what jumps out at you? The order is a little bit different, right? The order is different. Right, and even within the psukim, right, in pasuk in perek yud chet, when the arayot are listed, so what happens? What does the Torah say happens to somebody who violates one of the arayot in perek yud chet? Nothing. Well, actually, that's in Chaf.
Oh, that's
in Chaf, right?
Right.
In Chaf, it's right. The death penalty. In Yud Chet, actually, we have no idea. Right? It just lists the prohibitions. Right? As far as we know, nothing happens. The only thing that seems to happen is that we do find out in Pasuk Chaf Tet at the end, Ki chol asher yaseh mikol ha-toivot eile v'nechartu ha-nevashot ha-osun mikarav amam. Anyone who is involved in these illicit relationships, these abominations, will get karet, will get spiritual excision. Right? But we hear nothing about a human-imposed death penalty. And then Perek Chaf, every Pasuk is the death penalty, their blood is on their heads, the death penalty, blood is on their heads, over and over and over. Again, there's another difference linguistically. How are the arayot described in Perek Yud Chet? In Perek Yud Chet, right? There's a milam mancha, right? A word that comes up throughout that describes the arayot. How are the arayot described? What is the sort of spiritual description of one who's involved in the illicit relationships, right? For example, in pasuk, let's say pasuk yutet ve'elisha b'nida tumata lo tikrav legalot ervata, right? Nida is described as tuma, right? Or if you look in pasuk, in the summary pasuk in chavdalid, al titameu bechol eile. Don't become impure with all these arayot. Pasuk kofei, vatitma haaretz, vafkod afona aleha. Right, when the previous nations in Israel were involved in these, they made the land impure. And pasuk kof zayin, ki chol toivot ha'el asu anshei haaretz asher lifneichem, vatitma haaretz. The nations before you were involved in these illicit relationships, so they made the land impure. And that seems to be the description of the arayot. They are a form of tuma. In pasuk, in perek chaf, on the other hand, right, we don't actually get the word tuma. What we get is, if you look at the summary psukim, you get, if we look at pasuk chaf hey, now look at the summary. V'ivdaltem beina behema teora l'tmeya, v'ena ofa tmeya l'tahor, v'lo tishaketsu et nafshotechem behema, v'ofa chol asher tirmos, hadama asher hivdalti lachem l'tamei. Right? So you'll keep the arayot, and you'll keep the laws of kashrut. Right? This is a summary of the last few units. V'yitem li kdoshim, ki kadosh ani adonai v'avdilat chem enamim liot li. And you will be holy. Right? It's not about don't be tamei, it's about be Kadosh. The Isha Ishaki Evem over Yudani, Moti Matuba Evan Yukamo, Tam Demam Bam. Okay. And then we add a law about magic. Okay. So what do we do with that? Right? You have a repeat of these laws with a few striking differences. Ani Hashem versus the lack of that phrase, Tuma versus Kedusha, punishment versus non-punishment, or punishment bidei shamayim versus punishment in the courts. So that, right, those seem to be descriptively differences between the presentation and Yudchen L'chaf. But what does it actually teach us? So if you look at number one, so Rilivdak notes these, right? He said, take a few minutes, right? This is classic, right? This is basically how he writes up his classes, right? So take a few minutes to compare chapter 20 with chapter 18. And you'll find that almost every mitzvah that was mentioned in chapter 18, meaning the arayot, forbidden marital relationships, is repeated in chapter 20. Note also how, right, the laws of Molech also repeat themselves. However, if you take a closer look, you'll notice how the manner of presentation of these mitzvot in each chapter is quite different. Note that the basic differences are as follows. So first of all, chapter 20 includes a specific punishment for each transgression. In contrast, chapter 18 simply states that these arayot are forbidden. Note the repetition of phrase, lo tigale erfatan, right, just over and over. It's forbidden, forbidden, forbidden. Only in the conclusion of chapter 18, we are told that God will cut off from his nation anyone who transgresses them, what we call karet. For this reason, the order of their ayot is each perek is different, right? That's what we noted. Now, what is the difference in the order? So, before we look at his answer, right, what is the difference in the order? So, you look at 18. Let's see if we can come up with an order, right? 18. So, we get... It starts off with "Don't be with close relatives." So it's the it's mother, father's wife, right? Stepmother, sister, grandchild, father's wife's daughter, stepdaughter. Then your aunt, right, on your father's side, your aunt on your mother's side. Your aunt, your father's brother's wife, the your daughter-in-law, then your brother's wife, right, your sister-in-law, and then then the prohibition against a mother-daughter, and then two sisters. All right, so that's the order in Perek Yudchet. In Pasuk, in Perek Chaf, it starts with adultery, right? That's all the way at the end in Yudchet, right? Adultery is the last one. There, followed by homosexuality and bestiality. In Chaf, on the other hand, we start with adultery, right? Which already, right, should make it clear, right? We actually flip it, right? Without even getting into the details, right? Adultery is last in 18, or almost last, and first in 20. So Rabbi Liebdeg notes that, and he said, for this reason, the order of the rayot in each perek is different. In chapter 18, they follow more or less the order of family closeness. Right, daughter, etc. Well, the order in 20 follows the type of punishment. Right, so Rabbi Liebdeg said the reason that's true is because of the punishments. Right, because the in Perek Yudchet, where punishment isn't mentioned, so it follows a logical order. Right, starts with the family ones and then moves to the ones that are not family. Right, so it starts with the actual arayot, meaning people related to you. Then it moves to the prohibitions against not people who are related to you, but people who are related to each other. Right, like mother, daughter, sisters, right? Those aren't related to you, but the problem is that the women are related to each other, and then moves to adultery, which isn't about relatives at all. In Perek Chaf, it goes by what type of punishment, which death penalties, and adultery is one, and most of the arayot are the same, right? They go together, so it organizes it by punishment. The third difference, he notes, is that in chapter 20, and this is what we are noted, we find the concept of Kedusha, while in chapter 18, we find only the concept of Tumah. And the fourth is that in chapter 20, it includes some additional laws, such as Ovin Yedoni. Right, so this is, we didn't note until the end, but for example, the laws against magic appear in 20, but they don't appear at all in 18. Right, 18 has the Arayot and has Molech, but it doesn't have the laws against magic. So what's the difference, right? Why is it that Yudchet and Chaf repeat each other with these differences? So what Rabbi Liebdeg suggests is as follows. If you want to figure out how we get from 18 to 20 and why 18 looks different than 20, so what's the most logical place to look? Chapter 19. Right? Right? Meaning very simply, right? If something happens between 18 and 20 that requires a repeat, but in a different way, right? So what is chapter 19, right? So chapter 19 is Kidoshim Tihyu, right? So the first of these answers should be really easy, right? Why do we exchange from Tum'ah to Kedusha? Because in the middle, chapter 19, are the laws of Kedusha. So the Arayot are reframed this time as Kedusha. Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh, ani Adonai Elechem. And then we get all these laws, right? What does it mean to be kadosh? Well, it means honoring your parents, and it means keeping Shabbat, it means not worshipping Avodah Zarah, it means bringing karbanot, it means giving gifts to the poor, and it means being honest in your business dealings, and it means loving your fellow, and it means giving rebuke, and it means not hating people, not taking revenge, and not holding a grudge, and it means, you know, other ritual laws like kilayim, and it means being honest in business, and more laws about Shabbat. It means respecting elderly people. It means taking care of gerim and strangers. It means a whole series of laws, right? Which get, now next week we'll try to figure out why those laws get put in Kedusha. But whatever the common denominator is, Perek Yutet is about becoming kadosh. Now the repeat, therefore, of Arayot in Perek Chaf, this time with the word Kedusha instead of Tumah, right off the bat seems to indicate that for some reason Arayot have two aspects to them. Right? One is that not being involved in illicit relationships is a way of avoiding Tumah, but there's also a way, it's also an expression of Kedusha. Right? Now, Tumah is basically, if you had to categorize it, Tumah is avoiding negatives, and Kedusha is something positive. And Arayot has an aspect of both. Rabbi Liebtag suggests that that basic insight is the difference between Perek Yudchet and Chaf. And for the following reason. Perek Chaf says that not only is being involved in illicit relationships wrong, but you have to do something about it. Right? Perek Yudchet tells you that you shouldn't do negative things. You shouldn't be involved in arayot, in illicit relationships. But if you do, God takes care of it, not human beings. Right? Human beings have no right or responsibility to deal with the morality of people among them. Each person is individually responsible to live a moral life. If he doesn't, so God takes care of it. Right? The punishment that we get in Perek Yudchet is karet. If you are involved in these arayot, so then God says, fine, I'll take care of it. Don't worry, right? Don't sweat it. It's my responsibility. And then suddenly in Perek Chaf, you hear that no, if someone does something wrong, human beings have to take care of it. There have to be court systems. They have to ensure that there's morality in society. Why? So he says, well, there's a difference in how you frame society. What do you think the goal of society is? If you think the goal of society, right, is simply to avoid negatives, right, is just to avoid negatives, so then you can make an argument that people are responsible for themselves. If people are responsible for themselves, you each should avoid negatives. If you don't, so God will take care of it, but you're not responsible for anybody else because you're not trying to do anything positive. Right? You keep the law. If someone else doesn't keep the law, that's their problem. Let the authorities take care of it. Let God take care of it. But it's not my responsibility to take care of other people. Right? I do what's right in my own house. I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything bad. And what people do next door, right? I close my eyes and ears. I don't care. Right? As long as it doesn't bother me, I don't have any responsibilities to other people. That works if your view of society is that, you know, I don't have responsibility. I have only responsibilities to myself, but I don't have to create a good society. I don't have responsibilities towards the community. I have responsibilities to my own ethical self. So don't do anything wrong. But Perek Yutet introduces a second level, which is to be a Jew is not just to avoid the evil, to avoid the bad. To be a Jew is to create a holy society. But if your goal is to create a holy society, then you can't have a holy society if each person only cares about themselves. Each person has to take responsibility for the community as well. Kedusha doesn't exist in an individual vacuum. Right? If you don't do anything wrong, but everybody around you is doing wrong things. You don't live in a holy society, right? You, You know, keep the law. Right? Great. Right? But a holy society means you're actually actively involved in making sure that people are doing the right things. So Rabbi Liebtag says that only after you introduce Perek Yotet and you tell the Jews, by the way, to be a Jew is not just to not do anything wrong, but is to actively create a moral society. Well, part of that means have proper respect for parents, for elderly people, for scholars. Part of it means to be ethical in business. But to be ethical in business in a holy way doesn't just mean you don't cheat. It means make sure everyone has fair weights and measures. Because if you are honest, but everyone around you has dishonest weights and measures, so great, you've saved yourself, but your society is corrupt. And you can't harbor grudges, even if you're not doing anything wrong, right? It's internal. In Perek Yud-Chet, you can't ask for internal things, but Kedusha, suddenly we learn that God can make impositions even on our emotions. V'haftal re'echa kamocha. Right? You have to love people. You can't hate people. Right? We can demand your emotion, make demands on your emotions. We can make demands on your social relationships. But one of the things we can do as well is demand not just that you avoid the bad, but that you develop a moral society. But with responsibility comes, right, also power. Right? If you have the if God's telling you you have the responsibility to create a moral society, he also has to give you the tools to ensure that there's a moral society. The number one tool in that is the court systems. Right? In addition to, right, you know, as we go up the levels, first you have to avoid negatives. But then for the negatives, you need society, you need a court system to maintain a basic moral level. Now, the courts aren't going to impose v'haftal recha kamocha. Kedusha doesn't end at the courts, but it does start there. So once God tells the Jewish people that their responsibility is not just to avoid evil, but to be holy, he also has to grant them the power to, you know, build court systems, to enforce laws, to ensure, to take responsibility in an active sense for the rest of society. Once you have that responsibility, that also gives you the permission to carry out the death penalty. Because you know what? It's not intuitive. Why should you be allowed to have the death penalty? Right? Why does the court have the right to take away somebody's life because they committed a crime? Let God take care of it like you have in Yud-Chet. But once God says, no, I want you to build a moral society, then you can rightfully turn to God and say, okay, but if you want us to build a moral society, you have to give us power to do it. So Perek Chaf, right, introduces, A, that arayot aren't just about avoiding negatives, but are part of creating Kedusha. But once it's about creating Kedusha, then God can give us power as well. And therefore, the organization of the Perek is about punishment, because what's introduced in this chapter is not just the prohibition, but what to do about the prohibition. And the last difference was that it also adds a few laws that you don't get in Yud-Chet. So, for example, Ovidoni, the laws against magic, right? Well, who really cares if you, you know, ask necromancers and ask future, you know, divine, you know, people to divine the future? It doesn't hurt anybody, right? If people are going every day to, you know, their fortune tellers, you know, let them do whatever they want. I don't need to believe it, right? If I just have to avoid evil, so okay, right? It doesn't bother me that people go, you know, every plaza and, you know, in you can find, you know, your fortune teller, your palm reader. Okay, big deal. But if you're supposed to create a holy society, one that's committed to God, then no, you can't let everybody, right? People who really, really believe in all these, you know, fortune tellers and things like that, they don't have a commitment to God, right? They're trying to figure out the future for themselves through all types of weird, right, magic and mysticism. And if you want to create holiness, so there are other laws as well. You need to have faith in God, trust in God. And part of that is avoiding all these magic, you know, these magic fortune tellers. So Kedusha brings other responsibilities in, and that's really why you have to repeat the arayot, because they take on a totally different valence between Perek Yud-Chet and Pasuk Chaf. Now, Rabbi Liebtag continues to note that if you look at, this is number three, I put a chart here, right, from Rabbi Liebtag as well, that this is indicated not just by the contrast between Perek Yud-Chet and Perek Chaf, but also the internal structure of Perek Chaf. So you look in Perek Chaf, you get a chiasm, right? We often have chiasms, but here you actually have a mega chiasm, right? 18 and 20 create a chiasm, obviously, because they're identical units with Kedusha in the middle. But within Perikhof, you also have a chiasm. So Perikhof began with the prohibitions against Molech Ovidoni, right? The prohibition against this particularly bad idolatry of sending your kids through fire. And in Pasuk Vav, Hanefesh Tifne El Ha'avot Ve'el Ha'yidonim Lisnod Achariyem, V'natati Et Panai B'nefesh Ahi V'chirati Otom Mikerav Amo, the prohibition against turning towards these types of magic. And as we saw, the Perek ends that way as well. Then you get in Pasuk all right, and then you have the description of the punishment, right, which is in Pasuk Vav, V'natati et panai b'nefesh ahi v'chrati oto mikerav amo, that God will cut off the soul who's involved in Molech Ov Vidoni. But then when you get it in the end of Perikhof, when you have Molech and Ov Vidoni repeated, Ov Vidoni repeated, you have it with the death penalty. Right, Motyum 2. So even within Chaf, you have the same transition from Ovidoni, which God will punish, and Ovidoni, which man has to punish. Then, in Pasuk Zion, you get the introduction to the Arayot. This time, the Arayot are not just about Tuma, but they're about Kedusha, right? Pasuk Zion, V'hit Kadishtem, V'item Kedoshim, Ki Ani Hashem Elokichem. And then at the end, in 24 to 26, in Chavdala to Chavvav, you get the summary, which again tells you that these things are not just about Tumah, they're about Kedusha. Specifically, in Pasuk, Chavvav, Vitem li kidoshim ki kadosh ani adonai, v'avdil etchem min amim lihyot li. And then you have in Pasuk Chet, and on one side, in Pasuk Chavbet, Chavgimel on the other side, the instruction to keep my chukim, and then you have the arayot in the middle. So even within Perek Chaf, right, you get this same right transition. We start with Ov Yedoni and Molech, but we're told at that point that God will punish it. At the end, we find out about Ov Yedoni again, but this time Bezdin will punish it. And what you have in the middle is the descriptions of Kedusha. That it's not just about Tumah, it's about Kedusha. And once you introduce Kedusha, so then just like we had with the Arayot, that the Arayot in Yulchet that were about Tumah and not Kedusha don't have punishment, here too, Molech, Ovidoni, only get punishment when the factor of Kedusha is introduced even into the mini-unit. So that notion becomes emphasized over and over, this notion that it's only once the Jews become responsible to be kadosh, to create a holy society, and therefore look beyond themselves, that we're forced to have the death penalty. We're forced to have bezdin and punishing, because once you have responsibilities towards society, that also allows and requires you to do something when people are challenging the sanctity of the society you live in. Okay, the last indication that this is true is if we go back to Yud Chet. So one of the things that I noted that's different between Yud Chet and Chaf is that Chaf introduces Kedusha, Yud Chet only had Tumah. But Yud Chet had something else, which was Ani Hashem, right? Which you don't have in Chaf. So if Perek Yud Chet is about Tumah, is about getting rid of bad things, but not necessarily about becoming holy. It's first about getting rid of the bad, because you first have to get rid of the bad before you can build towards the good. So then why does Ani Hashem appear so many times in Perek Yud Chet? If you asked me, intuitively, I would have said Ani Hashem belongs in, you know, Chaf. Being holy is about, I am God, I am God, I am God. However, Ani Hashem is actually used throughout Chumash and in Navi, not as a not in connection with Kedusha, but in connection with the importance of getting rid of evil, of getting rid of bad. So, the first time that you really see this is in Shmot Vav, right? Shmot Perek Vav, when Hashem introduces Himself to Moshe. So, Shmot Perek Vav. Pasuk Bet, right? The beginning of Parshat Va'era. So Va'idaber Elohim El Moshe Va'yomer Elav Ani Adonai. Right, so he introduces himself to Moshe and says, "I am God." Right, those words from Yudchet. Va'ira El Avraham El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov Vel Shaddai Ushmi Adonai Lo Nodati Lohem. When I revealed myself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I revealed myself as El Shaddai, but my name Yudke Vavke, I didn't let them know. Meaning, this is the flip of Ani Hashem. I am Hashem, and I wasn't before. I mean, now I am Hashem. Ani Hashem, now. Starting now, I am Hashem. The Gam, Hakimoti et Briti, Dam Latte, Lamed, Eretz, Kanan, Eretz, Migurahem, Asher, Garuba. And I promised them the land that I was going to send you to. The Gam, Ani Shamati, Nakat, Bene, Shal, Sher, Mitzrayim, Avi, Dimotam, Veskart, Briti. And I heard the cries of the Jewish people, and I'm remembering them. Lachain, Amor, Levene, Israel. So tell the Jews the following. Lachain, Amor, Levene, Israel, Ani Adonai, Votseti, Etchem, Mitachat, Sivlot, Mitzrayim, Vitzalti, Etchem, Avodatam, Vigalti, Etchem, Bizran, Etiyavish, Vatim, Gdolim. And tell them that I'm going to take them out of Egypt. I'm going to save them with an outstretched arm with wonders. Vilakachti etchem li lam vayiti lachem li Elohim vidatem ki ani Adonai Elohim hamotzi etchem mitachat zevlot Mitzrayim. And I'm going to take you out of the land. You'll be my nation, and you will know that I am God who takes you out of Egypt. Veveiti etchem el haaretz asher natzati et yadi v'teir otal Avraham Yitzchak LeYaakov v'natati otal lachem marasha ani Adonai. And I will give you Israel because I am God. Vayidaber Moshe ben Israel, v'lo shamua Moshe mikotzer ruach ma'avadak Hashem. And then he tries to tell this to the Jewish people, doesn't work. So you get Ani Hashem five times in these eight psukim. And it's not just you get Ani Hashem. Hashem makes a big deal of the fact that I wasn't Hashem. So what does Ani Hashem therefore mean? Ani Hashem, as Hashem says it, is the name that God introduces to the Jewish people when he promises that he's going to fulfill his promise, right? He commits to fulfilling his promise of bringing them into the land, right? Ani Hashem is the prerequisite, or is God's introduction, when he's going to bring the Jews into the land. Now those two themes, right? Ani Hashem and I'm about to bring you in the land, so don't mess it up, is the theme of Perek Yudchet, right? In Perek Yudchet, we got Ani Hashem, Ani, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, and don't be involved in the Arayot because they bring Tumah. And what's the big problem with Tumah? That it will make the land spit you out, and that's why the previous residents of Israel got spit out of the land. And if you look in Yechezkel, Perek Chaf, right, what the implications are of this become clear. So Vayhi Dvar Adonai Eli Lemor. So you look in Source 4. Hashem tells Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Daber el Zeknei Yisrael, Vamarta Alehem. Great, go tell the elders of Israel, Vamarta Alehem, and tell them, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, this is what God said, Halidrosh Oti Atem Vahim, are you coming to look for me? Chayanim Im Idaresh Lochem Neum Hashem Elokim. I swear that I'm not, right, I'm not talking to you right now. Right? Why? Hatishpot Otam. Hatishpot ben Adam eto avotam hodiyim. Are you going to judge them? Are you going to judge these people? Right? Let them know the terrible things, the abominations that their forefathers have done. V'amar talim, tell them, Ko amar Hashem Elokim. This is what God said. Biyom b'chari b'Yisrael. And the day that I became angry, Vasayadi Lazer Beit Yaakov, Vaidalahem Beret Mitzrayim, Vasayadi Lahem Lemorani Hashem Elokechem, the day that I chose you, right, the day that I took you, and I made myself known to you in Mitzrayim, and I took you out, right, or I raised my hand over you, and I saying, I am God. Right, so it's referencing now Shmot Vav. I tell them that day when I introduced myself to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim as Ani Hashem, Bayomahu Nasati Dadi Lahem Lotziam Eretz Mitzrayim El Eretz Asher Tarti Lahem Zavat Chalav Udvash. On that day, I promised I would bring them to Israel. Tzvihi L'chol Eretz, the best of all the lands. Va'omar Alehem, but tell them, Ish Shikutzei Einav Hashlichu. What is the condition for you to come into the land, for me to fulfill my promise as Ani Hashem? Get rid of the disgusting things, right? Uvigulei Mitzrayim al titama'u. And don't become impure with the idols of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Vayamruvi, but they rebelled against me. V'lo v'ulishmo ayilai, and they don't want to listen to me. Ish et shukutzehem einehem lo eshlichu. They didn't get rid of the disgusting things. V'gilulei Mitzrayim lo azavu, and they didn't leave the idolatry of Mitzrayim. Right? Remember, this was both a theme of. But this is the theme of Vayikra Yudchet, right? Get rid of the Tumah. Don't be Kimaseh Eretz Mitzrayim. Don't do what they did in Egypt. And now Hashem is saying, yeah, because that was what I made you promise. But you didn't do it. So then I'm going to destroy you in Egypt. Va'as l'man shmi, but I saved you anyways, for my name. L'voltiach el einei agoyim, ashehem avetocham. Asher no dati aleihem leinehem lotiam eretz Mitzrayim, because I don't want to embarrass myself among the nations. I said I was going to take you out. Votiam eretz Mitzrayim, vaviyem el midbar. So I did. I took you out of Egypt and I brought you to the midbar. And what did I do in the midbar? Perek Yudchet. I gave you Vayikra Yudchet. Va'atein lahem et chukotai v'et mishpatai odati lahem. I gave you my laws, right? Chukimu mishpatim, the introduction to Perek Yudchet. Asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai bahem, which the people will keep to live through them, which is a quote from Vayikra Yudchet. Right? Right? Or was it Chaf? I think it's Yudchet. Right? Perek Yudchet. I'm in Shmot. Yeah, it's a quote. That's a quote from Perek Yudchet Pasuk. Hey, Ushmartem et chukotai v'dimishpatai asher yaseh otam adam v'chai bahem ani Hashem. Right, that is a literal quote. It is a very specific quote. Right, Pasuk Yud Aleph in Yechezkel is almost identical. Is almost identical to Perek Yudchet Pasuk Hein Vayikra. Right, v'atein lahem et chukotai v'dimishpatai odati lahem asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai bahem, which is parallel to Ushmartem et chukotai v'dimishpatai asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai bahem ani Hashem. And I gave them Shabbos. But they rebelled against me. They didn't keep my laws. They were disgusted with them. They violated my Shabbos. And I did it for my own name. So Yechezkel tells us a story. Chezkel says, right, he ties together Shmot Vav and Vayikra Yudchet and says, I introduced the Jews, myself to the Jews in Mitzrayim as Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is the phrase that indicates, I am God who promised to bring you into the land. Perek Yudchet tells why it is important to keep the Arayot. For one simple reason. Don't be Kemaseh Eretz Mitzrayim. Don't be like the Egyptians. If you want to go into the land, you want to allow me to keep my promise, Ani Hashem, what that means is don't be involved in Tumah. Why? Because Tumah forces me to kick people out of the land. So if I'm about to bring you into Israel, before we get to Kedushah, all I need is don't do what they do in Mitzrayim, don't do what they do in Kanaan, which is the Arayot and Avodah Zarah. If you do those two things, that just like I kicked out the people who were before you, I'm going to have to kick you out. That's a prerequisite. Right? Ani Hashem, we would have thought is about Kedushah. But if you follow Yechezkel, he's very clear about that. Ani Hashem is not about Kedushah. Ani Hashem is the way that God introduces himself when he wants to emphasize that he's trying to fulfill his promise of bringing us to the land, and therefore telling us that the secret to not getting kicked out of the land before you even get to Kedushah is just not being like the Egyptians, and not being like the people in Canaan, not being involved in Arayot, not being involved in Avodah Zarah. That's what it means. Ani Hashem is hinting to Perek Vav in Shmot, is saying, remember, my goal here is to get you into Israel. If you want to be in Israel, basics are be, right? Don't do anything terrible. If you do anything terrible, I can't bring you to the land. I can't fulfill my promise. Kedoshim to you, you're also responsible to be holy, right? But Ani Hashem is before you're even holy. Just make sure you're not terrible so that I have the ability to fulfill my promise. And therefore, Yechezkel says, I promised. God says, I promised that as long as they avoided Tumah and they weren't like the Mitzrayim, I'd bring them into Israel. I promised. But then they did it anyways, right? And I was stuck. So therefore, if you take the prakim together, right, it goes, right, the trajectory goes like this. You start with Vayikra Yudchei, which, as Chizkel clarifies, God's first goal is to say to the Jewish people, my first goal is to keep my promise. My promise is predicated on one thing. I have to bring you into Israel. Israel has certain standards. The standards are, don't be terrible. Right? Before we get into doing good, don't be terrible. The Mitzrim were terrible, and in Egypt you were like them. Canaan is terrible, and that's why they're getting kicked out of the land. Try not to be a Mitzri. Try not to be a Canaani. Right? Remember that I want to take you into the land. I really want to. That's my promise. All you got to do is avoid the terrible things everyone else is doing. Right? Ani Hashem isn't some, you know, holy statement, I am God. It's I am, right? Ani Hashem is the way God introduces himself when he introduces his commitment to the Brit, which is,